So I have to tell you all something this morning as I begin my sermon. So I am what I like to call a Disney person. And so I see, yes, I got that reaction at the lawn too. People like, you know, raising their hands saying, yeah, we're here. Yes. And so I've discovered that there's a lot more of Disney people, here in Lakeland than and when I experienced when I worked in Tampa. I'm guessing it's because of how close we are to Disney World. But for me, it hasn't been just since I lived in Lakeland thing. It's been a lifelong thing for me. See, I grew up in rural western Kentucky, out on the farm. And out on the farm, we did not have cable. So as a kid, what TV I watched was Disney VHS tapes over and over again. But I have to say, rewatching these movies as an adult with my 2-year-old toddler has given me a different perspective than when I was a kid. And so my husband and I were having a discussion about this the other day. So he said, hey, do you realize how crazy it was in the movie Aladdin that Jasmine actually did agree to marry Aladdin after she only knew him for a few days? And for a lot of those days, he was lying to her. So the whole plot of the movie is that Aladdin is poor, but he falls in love with the rich princess Jasmine. And so he teams up with a genie to sort of hide from her that he's actually poor. And they get married in the end, which, you know, in our adult world, we're like, yeah, that's kind of crazy, right? And so then there's Cinderella, a story that a lot of us are very familiar with. So she agrees to marry a prince that she's only known for a few days after one night together at a ball. And so my husband asked a really good question. He said she's only known him for a few hours. So how does she know that he's really who he says he is? Like, he could actually not have any money and he could have spent his last money on this big fancy ball and she wouldn't even know it. These are the very practical things and discussions you have re-looking at Disney as an adult. Now, I will say that Disney has done a lot to correct this. I've seen later princess movies they've done, which have actually made fun of this whole get married to someone you barely know trope. But I would say that when we think about this, when we think about a lot of romantic comedies and Hallmark movies, as much as I love them, they can also add to this idea that love, which is our sermon topic for today, love is mostly a feeling. That love is the butterflies we get in our stomach when we see that special someone. That love is the warm and fuzzy feeling we get when we're around our family and friends. And love is that just comforting feeling when all is well with the world and when we give thanks to God because everything is going just oh so right. But is love really just a feeling? So does that feeling of love carry us through the ups and downs of marriage? Does the feeling of love hold us together as a family through the ups and downs we know is going to happen in life? Does that feeling of love sustain us and give us purpose in our faith? Or is love something more? So this is our last Sunday in our sermon series, Rooted the Character of Faith. And so we've been talking about what does the Christian character of faith look like? What do our lives look like when they are truly rooted in our faith? And so each week we've been coming back to this key theme verse from Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, or generosity. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against things like this. And so we are wrapping up this series by coming back to love. And so what does love in the context of the fruit of the Spirit mean? When we say we have a Christian character of love, well, what practically does that look like? We know it doesn't look like the Disney or the butterflies in your stomach get married to someone in a few hours kind of love. We practically know that. But how do we live lives of love? So I think a great place to start is a verse that you're probably very familiar with, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this morning I'll be reading from verses 4 through 13. Here's the scripture. Love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaints. It isn't happy with injustice, but is happy with the truth. Love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes for all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. As for prophecies, they will be brought to an end. As for tongues, they will stop. As for knowledge, it will be brought to an end. We know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, what is partial will be brought to an end. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, reason like a child, think like a child. But now that I've become a man, I've put an end to childish things. Now we see a reflection in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know partially, but then I will know completely in the same way that I have been completely known. Now faith, hope, and love remain these three things. And the greatest of these is love. So now here's a question. This set of verses, it is used at a lot of weddings. So just polling the group. How many people have heard this verse read at a wedding before? Yes, an overwhelming majority. Now here's a follow-up question. How many people have had this read at their own wedding? Yes, my people. Travis and I had this read at our wedding as well. But what a lot of people don't know, even though we think of this as the wedding verse, Paul isn't actually talking about couples at all here. He's talking about love in the context of the church. So 1 Corinthians is a letter that the Apostle Paul is writing to a church at Corinth. And so this church, bless their hearts, they had a lot of problems. There was a lot of infighting. There was a lot of people struggling with a lot of sins. And specifically what this is addressing is there were a lot of people who were being prideful and they were being boastful about either their role in the church or the spiritual gifts that God had given them. So those who were preaching thought that they were better than those who didn't. Those who were able to speak in tongues thought they were better than those who couldn't. And the list goes on and on. So in this section of the letter here, Paul is trying to move them away from that attitude. In fact, this whole discourse on spiritual gifts and how God made us different, how God called us to different things, he's really trying to get down to the point that this is good because diversity makes us stronger. And so through this whole discourse, we get to the end and we get these verses in chapter 13. Paul wraps it up by bringing it back to love. And so it turns out when you look at a lot of Paul's writings throughout the New Testament, he likes to either begin or end his discourses by talking about love. Let's think about Galatians 5, our theme verse for this series, which is also written by Paul. He starts with love. So you may have been wondering the whole time, this 9 weeks we've gone through this series, why love is listed in the Bible verse as the first fruit of the Spirit, but we moved it all the way to the end. Well, Paul listed love as the first fruit of the Spirit because he thought love was at the center of what the Christian faith should be, what the center of the Christian character could look like. So all those other things, the peace and the patience and the generosity and the joy, that came out of love. And so I like this discourse because Paul reminds us of what love is. So when we look at it in the English, we see a mix of nouns and adjectives. But if you look at it in the Greek, each one of those things about what love is, they're all verbs. So if you look at it in what it's originally written, you see that this is all about what love does. And so when we think about it in those terms, we see that, well, Christian love is not a feeling. Christian love is something you do. Christian love is an action. So last week's sermon topic was generosity. And so our senior pastor, David McIntyre, he said something that really stuck with me all week. Generosity is love in action. And I like that because it reminds us that love is something that we do. Love is an action, and generosity is, in fact, love in action. And so for those of us in this service, I want us all to think and reflect on this idea of love in action. So I want you to share your love in action stories with me. We'll text them in, and I'll use them as a benediction later in this service. So that number is 863-880-1112. Oh, good. I thought maybe I forgot to make that slide. There it is. 863-880-1112. And so I'll try to compile some of these and use them during the benediction to get us thinking about what does love in action look like, and specifically, what does love in action look like in the life of this church? So that was a question I asked our staff early on Monday morning. I told them about this is the direction I'm going to be headed with this sermon. And so I want to hear from you. What are your love in action stories you've seen in the life of our congregation? And so I got so many great responses, and so I want to share a few with you this morning. So the first, someone shared with me about the Called to Serve Farm Workers Ministry, which pours out love to all our farm workers and their families in this community. And so just this week, I learned that Forrest White, who is our director of missions, he partnered with Called to Serve, as well as the generosity of someone within this congregation, to deliver a washer and a dryer to a family that needed it. And so he told me, as he was unloading that washer and dryer to that family, he could just feel very tangibly the generosity of that family for the gift that they have received. That was love in action. I also had someone tell me about the clothing closet. And so anytime anyone in this church has told me about our clothing closet, I always hear about how loved every child feels when they go into that clothing closet, interact with those volunteers, and get whatever they need. That is love in action. Someone else lifted up the music in our contemporary worship services. Specifically, they said at 9:30, they saw a little girl that was dancing along with the worship music, worshiping through dance. So we even connected with that family after the service, thanking them for how that little girl's dance had just made their heart soar. That was love in action. I also heard from Vicki Pittner, who is the director of our memory care ministry. And so she shared a quote with me of someone who was recently diagnosed with Alzheimer's and had begun attending the memory care ministry. Here's what he had to say about it. I have finally found where I belong. That is love in action. Emily Felgenhauer in the back, who is our director of youth ministry, she shared with me that over her time here, she just started in July, but she's seen 80 youth walk through our program. Those are 80 teenagers who are feeling the love of God on our campus in a tangible way. That is love in action. And so my final story, our adult ministries team lifted up our adult small groups who have adopted confirmands. So we have 18 amazing teenagers, really, guys, they are amazing, amazing teenagers who are going through confirmation this year. And so that's their chance to make their faith their own, to make a public profession for Jesus Christ. And so all 18 of these teenagers have been adopted by adult groups, which means that each one of them have adults who are praying for them and sending them cards. And so I wanted to lift up the chancel choir specifically because I sing with them. So I've seen firsthand their interaction with the confirmands they have adopted. They've adopted Haley Marsh and Bailey Warren, who is the one you see pictured. And so here's Bailey with some of the cards from the choir. So I specifically wanted to share this picture of Bailey because she's had a lot of ups and downs through this confirmation season. She had a surgery scheduled, and then that surgery had to be delayed, and then she had to fight an illness. And so all through that, every week after rehearsal, here's the choir faithfully giving an update so they can pray for Bailey each and every week and sending her these cards. So in fact, this is a picture that her mom, Trish, took so she could share on the youth Facebook page just to show how appreciative they were of the prayers and the care of the choir. That is love in action. So Christian love isn't a feeling, it's an action. We practice generosity not out of guilt, not out of obligation, but out of love, because it is love in action. Friends, we're going to do two things as we close. First, I want to have a prayer of dedication over these pledge cards, because I believe it's very important for us to pray for the families that these represent. Not only the families that place cards in the basket, but those that will be impacted by this giving. So please join me in a prayer of dedication. God, we come to you today thankful, just oh so thankful for your love, God. Thankful for how you first loved us. And so as we dedicate these pledge cards, God, we are thankful for the families that this represent. So we pray a blessing on them. And so we also pray a blessing for those that will be impacted by these gifts, oh God. May it be for the service of your kingdom and your work in the world. Amen. Amen. And so now for our benediction, you all shared so many wonderful things over the text. Heard of someone who had a baby in a pandemic, which I wasn't quite there, but I was very close. It was thankful for the care and the meals brought by this church. Many examples of people being fed, being cared for, and one specific story I want to read. I grew up as a kid in this church, and so when I was a kid, we had a homeless man who lived here at the church named Fred. He would walk the campus during the day, and our church provided a bed for him to sleep inside the sanctuary. I grew up seeing Fred weekly and seeing the love in action of our church. So we are thankful. We are thankful for our love in action. So may you go. May you go to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.